in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 235 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, in Birkenhead, Wirral, and my good pal Sean. Where are you, Sean?
I'm in sunny Qatar.
Is it sunny?
The sun is just setting. It's just setting now.
Do you get the sun setting out your window? Is that a view you're all?
Yeah. I've got a view right across the sea. Yeah, it looks lovely. But it's very quick here. It's like 20 minutes really, and it's gone.
You could do a nice time lapse. So you could set your phone up on balance against something, Time lapse option. In your camera, you should be in your apartment of an evening. I'm sure you don't know, do you?
No, not really. But I could do that and play with it.
You certainly should. You could double our subscribers, our Twitter followers in a flash with a decent video like that, I'm sure.
Yeah. That would be good.
We're talking about confidence and insecurity in the show today. Present.co.uk.
To take the picture.
Probably not. You're not off social media in general, are you, Sean? Would you say?
No. I obviously need to develop this part of my personality.
Yeah, definitely. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links from this and previous episodes. Sign up in the little email box, stick your address in there, and we'll send you some free meditation files and a discount code for our book, which will make a lovely little Christmas present. I'm sure you'll agree. What are you up to, Sean, apart from being in Qatar, Doha, Asterix?
What am I doing? I'm working hard. I'm just completing, we were talking about these things, products coming out for next year. I've completed the anxiety. I've completed the one on anger management, and I'm just starting on the one on stress.
Very nice.
So we'll have some good stuff with all the recordings and all the written stuff. It's all good stuff.
We've got some stuff coming your way in the coming weeks. So, yeah, watch your space. And, like I say, sign up for the email bits and bobs. What's the situation? I take it there's not too much. Is there much festivity over in Doha? There's no Christmas trees up, I'm assuming.
No, the people do get into.
There's a lot of expats there, right? What have you?
Yeah, there's a couple of million expats here. But there's also, it's either the 14th or the 18th, depending on who you talk to. There is Qatar Day, where they have a big festival and they celebrate the foundation of Qatar.
Okay, cool. So you were there for that, were you?
If it's the 14th, then I will. If it's the 18th, no way.
Yeah.
But they do big parades, apparently, and all the great and the good come along the seafront and everybody comes out en masse.
Christmas is in full swing over here. Although we haven't got our decorations and tree up yet. I was at your house last night, just dropping some.
Things are happening there.
It's all up at your house, looking lovely. Well done, Ree. Yeah. And you sorted it before you departed,
well,
right?
It was the way that I watched her doing it that really set it off.
You were at the mince pies there.
Yeah, and made the mulled wine and that kind of stuff. It's a hard job.
Someone's going to do it though. Can I just check? Can you? I might need you to hold your microphone up like you were before, Sean. You're standing a little.
How's
bit.
How's that?
Whoa, easy tiger, easy tiger. Let's just turn you down a bit. There you go. Yeah, that's better, I think. A bit clearer now.
Right.
So we've had a listener send an email into us, which we love. We don't like hearing about people's woes, to be fair, but we do like listeners getting in touch to suggest episodes and topics for us to discuss. And part of the email that came through talked about insecurity and confidence, and I thought that it's been a while since we talked about that kind of thing. So, Sean, you're a confident chap. Where does lack of confidence and insecurity stem from?
I think it's learned. And I think it comes back to our parents and what's going on there. So in the situation you're in with your kids, you've got big responsibilities to...
No pressure.
Yeah. But if it's going to be down to your lads, are going to be able to express their confidence relative to how they are brought up at the moment, and that's a big deal, isn't it?
Big time. Well, what about you when you were a youngster and you're, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old? I take it you were a very different person to you than you are now.
Yeah, I had a tough time then, bullied a lot, both in the home and at school. And it wasn't until I decided to rebel when I was 11 that things changed. And so, that was quite a conscious decision. You know.
So even at 11?
Yeah. Yeah, I decided I'd had enough of being the butt of other people by the time I was 11.
Yeah. Mm. So what was that? Was that quite a? Because we're a similar kind of height, me and you, in terms of stature. So
you mean we're normal. Anybody bigger than us is vertically challenged. That's
the... Yeah, all those lanky weirdos out there. Yeah,
yeah.
We're just right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, well, you said you're 11 there. But that's kind of just before. Again, were you aware that you needed to start? I don't know. I don't want to use the phrase manning up.
What happened was I did the classic thing that men do. Was I went to secondary school, and I thought I'd had enough of being picked on. So when someone picked on me, I hit them so hard over the head with my briefcase that I had to have stitches. And I got the cane, as you got in those days, and I was told off. But it was the one of the best things that I ever did in terms of the fact that people never, they left me alone after that. People didn't come anywhere near me. You know.
Yeah, it's not worth the effort. Don't muck with that. Don't mess around with that little fella.
Yeah. And that was a good lesson, really, because it was a lesson in what I would now see as absolutism. It's like there are times when you do have to be absolute and say, no, that's it, that's enough, I'm not doing any more kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know. And that's okay.
Yeah, so not that we're advocating violence of any kind, but
no.
Sometimes you've got to get stuff done, haven't you?
Yeah, to me, it's communication. It's, you know, how do we communicate?
I had a very different upbringing to you, to yourself, but generally the smallest guy in the class back then, and well, all through school, to be fair. But and I was quite a shy kid as well. I wouldn't say I got bullied at all, really. I was pushed around a little bit, but I was generally, I could always talk myself out of or into a situation. So, but I do remember consciously, yeah, at that similar age, 10, 11, 12-ish, kind of realising that I needed to, I don't know. Yeah, again, I don't use that phrase man up, but just kind of assert myself a little bit more and figure out the way to do
so
that.
Where does this phrase man up come from? You keep saying I don't want to use this phrase.
You hear it around, don't you? You hear it around, but we're living in this the age of gender equality and what have you, and which you know, I fully endorse. But yeah, I mean, when I was I wasn't whacking anyone over the head with briefcases like you were. I was kind of trying to learn how to kind of be a bit more diplomatic and verbal, win favour with the bigger boys.
So if the phrase for men is man up, then what phrase would women use? What would it mean to woman up?
That doesn't make sense at all. It's certainly not a phrase I'm familiar with. So I don't know what is the female role or the female way to kind of grow or be more confident in a situation. I'm not sure whether there is one.
Maybe womaning up would be being more sensitive, maybe. I don't know. Maybe would it be more being emotionally intelligent? Maybe.
Yeah. Well, generally, well, it is said that women are emotionally a bit more switched on than us fellas. And then you have this other, before we came on, we were discussing this, we have this something called small man syndrome. So even a, you know, it's kind of no hard and fast rule that when people become teenagers and grow older, they kind of grow at confidence. It's not guaranteed that we'll get there, is it? And we have some grown-ups in the world who suffer from an actual condition, which there's a link in the show notes called small man syndrome.
Right.
Do you know any small men or men with small man syndrome?
Do you mean people that are genetically small, What do you think of here?
No, I think it's more sport man syndrome is a situation where, I don't know, it's an insecurity, isn't it? So a person will kind of carry themselves in a certain way, or maybe they'll kind of bully people at work to kind of make up for their emotional deficiencies, shall we say. How's that sound?
I played in a band once with a guy who had dwarfism, who was the drummer. And he was a lovely guy. Reminded me of the guy off of Game of Thrones, or the Game of Thrones guy reminded me of him.
Okay.
And he pulled all the women like crazy.
Really?
I mean, he was a real personality, and there was something quite sexy about him. But it always made the rest of us laugh, because he would be there pulling all the best looking women, and leaving us out in the cold. And now, whether that was he was playing out his small man syndrome, I don't know. But he was certainly having a good time on it.
Yeah, well, maybe there's something there to be said about how we can, because a lot of people often will take the things that they think make them vulnerable, like their height, or I don't know, like the sound of their voice or the way they look, yeah. And they'll hide behind that, won't they? And some people will take it and use it, I don't know, to push themselves forward and to stand out from the crowd. So there's something to be said there for that, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. The one of the things that you mentioned when we were talking earlier on was about Donald Trump, my favourite chap at the moment. You were talking about he's got small hands. So
yeah.
What's that about?
Just Google it and you'll see. Yeah, he has small hands. There's plenty of photos out there. There's even an Instagram account that I follow, which kind of manipulates them still further in Photoshop to make them super duper tiny. But he's kind of, as he does with his way, he kind of denies everything, and he's kind of, he's tweeted about it and said how he's actually very normal size, and he's put photos out that kind of show his hands in a kind of more flattering way. So he's, rather than just admitting it and say, yeah, all right, I've got tiny hands, big deal, so what, I'm still the president, which might be the smarter thing to do. He kind of keeps on digging and digging and digging.
Has he had to kind of defend himself then?
Yeah, you know, maybe you could. Was it Jerry Beadle? He had a tiny hand, didn't he? I always remember seeing him on Ethan Frame.
Was he like a thalidomide or something like
yeah.
that?
I think. Yeah, he didn't he? Which I was a kid when I was watching it, I was kind of obsessed with it. But he would kind of hide it behind his other hand a lot. You know, obviously self-conscious and what have you. Mm. So he had a bit of work to do there, Jeremy. Mm. But he's not with us anymore, Jeremy Beadle. Did he die?
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's gone,
but... yeah, there's something to be said, isn't there, about kind of taking what we're not happy with about ourselves and using them. I don't know, something different about it, something special.
I do. We spend so much time as a society trying to change the way that we look rather than just accepting the way that we are. Mm. It all gets a bit bizarre, I think. You know, what's the matter with just being the way that we are? You know, if you're tall, you're short, you're thin, you're fat. You know, it's us that makes the value judgments. I mean, one thing that's interesting about being in the Middle East is that because lots of people wear the long robes that go down to the ground,
yeah.
The issue about bellies and bottoms doesn't kind of come out so much. It's like people are just the way that they are, and people aren't that kind of worried about it. You know, in the same way that in all the Westerners that wear the tight waistbands, it's a very different kind of body image or body experience.
Mm. Yeah, there's a couple of blog posts I'm going to link to which kind of talk about what you can do to boost your confidence. And it's something actually I realised a bit later than I probably should have in terms of like the clothes that I wore. Because I was always quite conscious of my height and size and, you know, skinny little guy. But as soon as I could realise that if I wore like slim fit clothes, and once I could start to like afford to be able to get a shirt tailored, which actually... it's a little trick for you. You can buy a shirt off the peg from wherever, take it to my man Ronnie in Birkenhead, and he'll take it in for you and get it fit perfectly for a tenner.
All right.
10 quid.
All right, that's a good idea.
Any tailor out there, I'm sure there's one near you, but the difference between wearing clothes that fit you properly from personal experience and hanging off a little bit. It's quite big, I think, and for me anyway. Little things like that help me with my confidence. And I look back at photos of me now, I think I wish my dad would have told me, and my mum, why didn't you get a suit that fit you? But like when I was at the sixth form wearing or like weddings when I was whatever, 17, 18, wearing these cheap suits that didn't fit me at all. Like, what the heck? I could have gone to Ronnie, give him 50 quid, and he could have cut that suit to fit perfectly. And yeah, who knows where I could have ended up. but wearing clothes, you're right, make a difference. It doesn't have to be slim fit clothes. Obviously, we're all different shapes and sizes. And do a bit of googling about the right kind of clothes, colours, sizes to wear for your shape.
Does that mean that you could have ended up being president of the United States then?
I could. Well, actually, I'm not a US citizen, am I? But yeah, President Ed. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I've got tiny hands, and I don't care. What else should we go through? I have got more things to say here. I'd like to go on to kind of the people that we surround ourselves with making quite a big difference over our confidence.
But I think that's one of the things where that goes right back to the issue of your family and the whole thing about, you know, parents and the way you were brought up as a child, in the same way that you're bringing up your boys. The issue is one of, are people taught things that make them confident, or are they continually told that they're stupid, that kind of stuff?
That's a subtle reference to your dad there, who had a unique take on parenting.
Yeah.
But do you think by him calling you stupid and daft and whatever?
I actually believed it until until other people suggested to me that maybe that wasn't the case, you know. But it took me a long time to get there.
Do you think it's like reverse psychology on his part? Do you think he was, obviously he didn't want you to be stupid. He probably, and you weren't, you're not stupid, I should clarify.
Well, I don't know.
Do you think that was just his weird way to kind of encourage you to do better at school, or I don't know, what the hell, what was he thinking?
No, I just think that he had problems having a male child. I think he had, it was okay with the girls much more than me, but for some reason he didn't like having another male in the house.
Right, okay.
Something like that.
Anyway. Mm. But you took the decision to ditch him, so is that, are we?
Yeah, yeah. I think that for anybody, they have to, if they're becoming mindfully aware, the next issue is, what is it that you are prepared to put up with in your life? Now, that may mean that if people are near you or with you who are toxic, then do you carry on dealing with that? Or do you get to the point where you think, no, I actually don't need that near me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's all personal choices, isn't it? But if somebody is putting you down, whether it's a colleague, whether it's a partner, whoever it is, does there come a point where you think, nah, I don't actually need to do this anymore?
Yeah, and you don't have to be, I mean, obviously with your situation as a youngster, you kind of left home, and it's the huge thing to do. But, you know, maybe there's colleagues or, you know, just more distant family members that you don't have to kind of move out from. You can just kind of speak to less initially, and then, someone you might see every day or speak to every day, you just kind of start dialing it back a little bit and spending that time with other people that you think are going to be more helpful.
If you're in a situation where the people that you're with, say you're in a working environment and those people are pretty kind of toxic, what do you do? Do you sort of put up with it time after time, or do you get to a point where you think, no, it's time to go? Now, I meet lots of people and it always amazes me about the thing that human beings have this massive capacity to put up with the most crazy behaviors on the part of other people, and they just carry on doing it year on year, and it's like, why would you do that? And it always amazes me that people do, but why would you know?
We were talking there about people in your life to get rid of. What about, can loneliness lead to, oh, I'm assuming it does lead to a lack of confidence and that lack of kind of connection with the world can isolate you further.
Can feed on each other, can't they? If you end up coming out of a relationship because you have, you know, that you've been rejected by somebody, that may wreck your confidence, or you may be in a situation where you find it hard to get into a relationship because you're lacking the confidence, you don't feel like you're worth it. So I think that relationships are a big part of self-confidence. If your partner does things that reinforce you and support you, you're likely to be much more confident when you go out in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, who do we use in our life who's going to give us the self-esteem? You know, even if your parents are kind of busy and they've got other kids to bring up, usually there's like a grandparent or someone who's going to compensate. You know, but if you haven't got that, what do? You know, you're out on your own, really.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of people lacking in confidence that I know and trying to figure out where it came from. Because it's funny when you're a kid, you kind of go down this route of schools and what have you, and exams, and go into different schools. I see a lot of lads that I went to primary school with, we were pals and all that, and then we went our separate ways at secondary school. I went to the grammar school and all that and passed the exams, but a lot of the guys that didn't make the grade and weren't academically, inverted commas, up there, aren't as confident now as I am, maybe, and a lot of the pals that I met at grammar school.
But does that mean that when we use a streaming situation at school, does that mean that the fact that you're streamed in lower streams is likely to affect your confidence later in life?
Surely. Must be, yeah, because, I mean, well, you got that initial hit, because I did the 11 plus and passed it. And then, but there were a load of people I went to primary school with didn't pass that. It's an instant kind of whack on the head, isn't it, that you're not up to scratch. And that's at the age of, whatever, 10, 11. So what kind of a message is that sending? And, you know, my lads are going to be doing that in 5-6 years, and they were kind of, umming and ahhing about whether it's a good thing or bad, but ultimately you want your kids to get on, don't you? And
if the deal is that if you, at that age, you don't make the grade, you're seen as being a failure, does that mean that you then carry that forever?
I know. Well, it doesn't have to be, because I know loads of lads as well that didn't pass the 11 plus and are doing really, really well now. My brother-in-law, case in point, he didn't, and he's a commercial airline pilot now. He's absolutely beast in life, but reasonably confident chap as well, but not over the top, obviously.
I think that when you lack confidence in the way that we're kind of looking at here, I think it does go back to the Live in the Present book. It does go back to those steps. And it's like starting off with getting rid of all the negative influence out of your life. And then from there, because one of the issues is, because one of the things on the course always is, what do you want? What do you really, really, really want? And if you don't know what you want because you've never really allowed yourself to look at that, because you don't give yourself that value, then you're likely to be in a position where you're never going to get what you want, because you don't know what it is. You know, you've never allowed yourself to look at it in that way. So I think that if you need to do a rebuild because you lack the self-confidence, then you do need to go back to a program like the Live in the Present program, and reprogram yourself. Start from the beginning, work your way back out, and change it, make it different.
Yeah. A couple of the points that cropped up in two of the articles I'm going to share are about goal setting, but it kind of highlights the importance of not setting too lofty a goal initially, especially if you're struggling with confidence. Because just set little tiny goals, little changes to your routine,
and it can give you that. You then prove to yourself that you're a failure.
If
you, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. exactly.
Yeah.
You've got on your list here self-defense and exercises are mine as well, in terms of keeping your body in shape and staying fit and healthy. But self-defense is more kind of a learning to be able to take charge of a situation.
Well, one of the things that I used to do, but he doesn't do it anymore, was that David, who is our friend David, who is a black belt in karate, also ran a kickboxing club in Denby. And I sent quite a few people there, women and men, to do kickboxing training to build their confidence up, especially when they've been bullied. And because David is David, he did it very, very well. And it worked really well as a therapy for them.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, no, love, Dav. I'll stick a shirt. He's got symbolsoflight.co.uk is his website, and he's had a book out that I helped him design recently, so I'll give him a shout out to that on the in the show notes too. Good old Dav.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is his
book actually out for sale at the moment?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think how we did it. I think he just got a certain amount, really small amount printed. You might be able to buy it actually as a digital copy on Blurb.
That would be good.
Yeah, so I'll try and find a link.
I'd like to support that.
We need to get Dav on the show actually to talk more about the work that he's doing. I think if you're out there, Dav, and you're listening, give us a shout.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, and you've got this last thing on your list about maintaining your own space.
Yeah, one of the things about lack of confidence is we tend to get squeezed out of things. And it's easy to kind of hide in the corner. You know, like if you go to a party and you're the person who sat in the corner being quiet because you lack the confidence to actually get out there and be in it with everybody else. And one of the things that is very, very important when you're looking at the whole confidence thing is we need to claim our space back. And I always like the thing of the samurai warriors or people that do karate, where they open their arms and turn around in a circle to create a space for them to fight in. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. There's times when you need to create a space in the world so that you've got enough space to work in, so you can create what you want, you know, and get other people out of the way so they don't impinge on what it is you're trying to do. Yeah,
lovely. Okay, do you want to go move on to resource of the week or anything else you want to
discuss? No, I'm cool. I'm going to put up the Paul McKenna I Can Make You Confident book. I don't think Paul McKenna can make you confident, but one of the good things with that book is his disc that comes with it, and he does the binaural alternate ear work, which is really effective. And one of the things that, because the confidence issue is such a primary programming when we're brought up, that hypnotherapy or that kind of visualized repetition, which is what you get in those discs, is a good way to get it, because it's a good way to get into your system and start reprogramming.
Cool. So, Paul McKenna, beautiful. All right. Yeah. Mine is a video on the dolectures.com, which I used to watch these all the time, and I haven't seen this one in a while, but I remember watching it ages ago. It's a chap called Steve Edge, and he talks about why you should have a party every day. He's obviously quite a confident chap, good, successful business person, but severely, severely dyslexic. So he's talking about how he overcame all that and how his attitude to life. It's quite an infectious one, actually, so well worth watching if you can.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
I think we're all done, hey?
Yep.
Go on.
Yeah, be interested to see how the quality of this one comes out.
Yeah, it's sounding all right to my ear, but let us know. We're going to do another one of these while you're away, and then you're back in these banking a few for Crimbo, hey, Christmas?
Yeah, I was having problems with the internet in the apartment here when I first arrived a few days ago. And then an email appeared on the TV screen saying that they'd been redoing the internet and they're supposed to double its speed.
I don't
know whether that will come across in any way. But
cool. All right. Well, I'll soon find out when I edit this show, but we'll be back next week. I'm livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Do drop us an email if there's anything you would like us to discuss in an upcoming episode. Okay.
Okay, and I will wang a blog off. So
you will.
One for this episode.
Yeah, that'll be on the website too by the time you listen to this. And yeah, everybody take care. Sean, I'll speak to you later on.
Okay, you take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.